lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's stable land. By your grace then I have found, Lord, let my feet on higher ground.
It's a good life. Coming to you from Central Baptist Church, located at 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
In our last study of 2 Peter, We looked at someone by the name of Balaam, and in verse 28 of Numbers 22, it says, "And the Lord opened the mouth of the ass, and she said unto Balaam, What have I done unto thee that thou hast smitten me these three times?" Well, you remember, we said Balaam means devour, and some of the linguists, some of the people who translate these words, they say of the people. In other words, he's a devourer of the people. And it says there that as he was trying to do something, the ass spoke to him, the donkey that he was riding on, says, "What have I done unto thee that thou hast smitten me these three times?" Well, you know, sometimes I think dumb animals have more sense than human beings. We need to turn to the Lord today as Christians and follow him and give the word of God out, the unadulterated word of God. And we need to stand on the book. Let God save people and let God speak to our hearts who are saved that we should live for him and not live for ourselves or the world. Well, let me welcome you once again to It's a Good Life. And I'm glad you're here listening today. And we're continuing our study in the book of 2 Peter. We're in chapter 2 and we're going to begin with verse 17. Up to this point, we've been looking at false prophets and false teachers, the godly and the ungodly, and righteousness and unrighteousness. Well, verse 17 talks about these false prophets and the people who are spreading lies and living lies. And it says there in verse 17 of 2 Peter chapter 2, it says, "These are wells without water, clouds that are carried with a tempest, to whom the mist of darkness is reserved forever." Well, of course, we're looking at false prophets and false teachers, and these are people who have been described by Peter. And he goes on to describe them in verse 17, that they have no compassion. You'll notice there the term, "These are wells without water." Have you ever noticed someone who is supposed to be crying, and they're crying with their heart out, they're crying their heart out, and you look and there are no real tears coming out of their eyes? Well, that's what Peter is saying about these false teachers and false prophets. They're pretending. They're putting up a good front. But if you look closely, they have no compassion, no real compassion for people or for the Lord. And we also see that there's a gloom of darkness. There's no light within them. They themselves are barely able to see, and they won't change according to the Word of God. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4, the Bible says, "In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." We see that not only by studying 2 Peter and other books of the Bible, that there are people who stand up and they supposedly represent God, but some of them are unsaved, and actually some of them are saved. Well, these people who are saved, they are blinded. And the same devil, the same one who has blinded the minds of those who are unsaved, is the same one who blinds the minds of the saved. He is the one who leads into darkness. In John chapter 11 and verse 9, Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of the world." Then in John chapter 8 and verse 12, it says, "Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." Well, these people who are saved, who are false teachers and false prophets, they have received the salvation that God offers through Jesus Christ. But they've quit walking after Him. They've quit living for Jesus Christ. They have been blinded by the God of this world, and the God of this world is Satan. Well, we move on into verse 18, and we see that these false prophets and false teachers are deceptive in their methods. It says in verse 18, "For when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lusts of the flesh, through much wantonness, those that were clean escaped from them who live in error." Well, false teachers are able to allure others, according to this verse, and they allure others by speaking great swelling words of emptiness. In other words, they're saying nothing and they have nothing to offer, but they're able to get up and they sound good. They put on a good show. They have great swelling words and they're great orators, but they're really saying nothing. And they also allure others through the lust of the flesh, unchecked by morality. In other words, do whatever you want to do. It's all right. And they may even use terms like everything's under the blood, which is true. God cleanses us through the blood of Christ. Everything is actually washed away by the blood of Jesus Christ. All sin is gone when that person receives Jesus Christ as Savior. But once again, the Bible tells us that we're to walk not as this world walks, as the people of this world who are unsaved, but we are to walk according to the Word of God. We're not only saved, but we're to look like saved people. We're to look like, act like, smell like, and be like because we are saved people. But the people who are leading others astray say it's all right to do anything in this world and follow the actions of this world. Notice also that these false teachers are able to allure others by saying that those who got away, those people who actually get away from the error of the teachings, in other words, they quit listening to these people who have false teachings, these false teachers and false prophets say that these people are now living in sin, that they're living in error, they're lost. The false teachers say that those who left them are sinners. We have people leaving churches today because of sin found within the church body, within the leadership of that church body, and that church leadership will not stand up against that sin. And that's because they are not following the precepts of the Word of God. Things found there that God says this is true and this is wrong. People, they look at things now, and this has happened all through the ages. What is wrong becomes right in their minds, and what is right becomes wrong. And this is totally against the Word of God. There is no gray areas when it comes to the Word of God. It's either black or white. In other words, it's either there or it's not. And we need to understand that today. Well, these false teachers and false prophets, once again, are blinded by their own greed, by their own selfishness, by their own wantonness of being exalted. We need to get away from people like that and follow the Word of God. You see, how do we get away from that? Well, you simply get in the Word of God and let God speak to you through His Word. You grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, and we've seen that, and we're going to see that later on. But notice verse 19. Verse 19 talks about false teachers and their promises, and they're deceptive. It says, while they promise them liberty, and that's people they've promised liberty to, they promise liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same as he brought in bondage. Well, these false teachers and false prophets promise freedom. But there is no freedom for what they're offering. The false teachers themselves are prisoners of what? Of sin. Sin brings into bondage. We're in bondage when we let the things of this world creep into our lives and we're controlled by the things of this world instead of the things of God. A person is a prisoner of whatever controls him. And if we're letting this world control us and the things of this, all the things of this world, then we're in bondage just as these false prophets and false teachers are. The Bible says that we're to come out from among them, and we're to be separate from the things of this world. The Bible says that we're not to be conformed to the things of this world, but we're to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. We're to be transformed daily in the image of Christ. And Romans chapter 12 talks about that. Now, we're not going to be perfect in the sense of being perfectly perfect in this life, but there's coming a day when we are going to be completely perfect. And that's when we see Jesus Christ in person, whether we are dying in this body, whether this body dies, and it will one day, or whether Jesus Christ comes back for us in the clouds and says, "Come up hither," or those who have trusted Him as Savior. Whichever takes place first, either death or when Jesus comes back for the church, that is when we will be made perfect in God's sight and in the sight of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who is God. Notice something else now in verse 20 and 20 through 22. We see the end of these people. It's worse than the beginning. According to these verses, it says, starting with verse 20, "For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have been have known the way of righteousness, then after they have known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it is happened unto them, according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed in her wallowing in the mire." After a saved person, through the knowledge of the Lord, has been set free of contamination, that sin of the world, if they go back to those contaminants, sin, then the end of their life will be worse than it was at the beginning of their Christian life. Because, first of all, when first saved, the person does not fully comprehend what has taken place. In other words, they don't know at that time, but as they learn, and then they stray away. Well, in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2, it says, "As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby." We're not fully grown when we first get saved. We're babes in Christ. We've got to grow. And we see also as Christians grow in the knowledge of the Lord, they learn the godly life, that the godly life is possible. 1 Corinthians 15:57 says, "But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." It doesn't come through a man or a woman or even ourselves. It comes through the Lord Jesus Christ. That victory comes only through Him. Well, then we see that Christians who get out of the will of the Lord, if they remain there and never return to their first love, that's Jesus Christ, their life's end will be miserable. Why? Because verse 21 says this, "For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them." That doesn't mean they're lost and on their way to hell. That means their life is miserable. People can never replace or regain time lost during years of being out of the will of God. Luke 12:48 says in this verse, "For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required. And to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more." God's word is true. Verse 22 once again says, "But it is happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire." Of course, that proverb that it's referring to is Proverbs 26:11. It says, "As a dog returneth to his vomit, so a fool returneth to his folly." Do you know Jesus is your Savior? You need to trust Him today. Turn to Him. Receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. Ask Him to come into your heart today. He loves you.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.